is the hour of Roundtable. Chinese internet users have been left in shock after footage of a road rage incident between a bus and car in Shandong province was posted online. It showed, I warn you, this is graphic, this is bloody, it's very violent. The bus driver repeatedly rammed into a car before crushing the car driver's legs under his wheels. Guys, have you looked at the video?
Ooh.
Yeah. Terrified.
I had nightmares.
What went on there?
So brutal.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's talk about this. According to website NetEase, the incident occurred in Qingzhou, Shandong province on May 13th. In the first video, a bus is shown bumping into a white car from behind, and with each bump, the bus driver's rage seems to build until he accelerates hard and pushes the car straight in a tree. I saw the picture. It was ugly. Severe damage to the guy's car. So he's already out of car. Then what happens? That's not all. Apparently, smashing the guy's car wasn't enough for the bus driver. He was really angry, folks. So the car driver attempts to flee from this crazy bus driver and even goes over the middle pass that separates the two sides of the street. And the bus driver follows him, even going over this middle pass, pins the guy down on the curb with his the bus ramming one side of his leg and the curb getting his other side. It was pretty gruesome if you look at the pictures. And while this guy is screaming beneath the bus driver comes out and gives him a talking to.
Yeah, so the bus driver simply just wouldn't let the driver go, and it was terrible to watch. Yang, is this something that is a bit of a topic of discussion these days?
Yes, and also I'd like to add another case on the media circulation. On April the 29th in Tianjin, two bus drivers crashed their respective vehicles into each other because of the road rage. Seems there are a lot of road rages of bus drivers in China.
Yeah, and I'd say just road rage incidents, period. I mean, when we are zeroing in on bus drivers, I think it's important because they hold a bigger responsibility as they're driving a whole bunch of people in that car. You can't just let go of your anger like that, but we'll talk more about this right after this short break. Don't go away.
Informed opinion and heated debate. Find out what's got China talking on our roundtable discussion, only on EZFM.
You're listening to Roundtable with me, He Yang, joined by Ryan and Yu Yang. Coming up, we'll talk more about this very violent case of a bus driver running over an innocent man and his poor legs. Oh, it is so bloody. But why did these bus drivers get so angry behind the wheel? We want to know your thoughts on that. And we'll talk about the most annoying things people do on WeChat. It seems like people can't live without WeChat, but still, so many of the annoying things have been brought to that platform too. Yeah, okay. I totally get that.
Yeah.
And there's like getting votes for their kids, for people's kids. There's like showing off, and there's a lot or too much chicken soup for the soul kind of stuff that is circulating on WeChat. These are just a few things that bug me. What about you guys? I mean, I want to see what you have to say, and we would love to see your messages on WeChat as we are EZFM Roundtable. EZFM Roundtable is very easy to find us and interact with us. Or you can find us on Sina Weibo. Just search for 轻松小品 Roundtable. Our podcast listeners can find us at Roundtable 圆桌会议 there. Now on Roundtable. And also, I get a chance to respond to our lovely, lovely WeChat listeners to the live show. And I'd like to start with Cassie Chen Xiaoquan. She says, "Hi, Roundtable. This is Cassie from Wuhan. First time ever that I've tuned in for the live show from the app, EZFM app, I suppose. After following this program for more than half a year, it feels so cool right now as I feel I'm closer to you guys now. I'm working as an English teacher, and I always recommend Roundtable to my students. Many of them tune in And become loyal listeners too. Thank you so much for your hard work. Love the show.
Wow.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah, so sweet.
Yeah, nice words, and I hope your students like our show too.
Yes, and also sometimes we talk about stuff that is...
Oh, goodness, Hyeong. PDA, don't bring it up again.
Yeah, and there's a few other topics that I don't know if it's suitable for little kids or young people to some
Well,
extent.
I think different perspectives are also good for those students.
Yeah.
We open a brand new word to them.
Yeah, and you know the reason why I was so dramatic about this is because the more you say, don't listen to this, young people, this is bad, the more they want to listen to it.
Okay.
Sounds right, yeah.
Have you studied psychology or something, Hyeong?
Well, you know, that was one of the supplementary courses I took. So it's like, round table is forbidden fruit, you know. So yeah, everybody is pretty
wants
interested.
To taste it. Yeah.
You want to listen to this because I think the best thing about Roundtable is, first of all, we all come from different point of view, and we all come from different backgrounds. Like, Ryan, you're from the U.S., and you've been through a lot in your life.
Mm.
Good and bad. Mostly good.
Right.
Yeah. And Yu and I, we're very different, too, and, you know, originally we're both from China, so it's like we automatically have different views, and we want to cover a lot of ground. We want to show that different views, different people can sit down and have a peaceful chat, although sometimes it get a little bit heated. But we understand each other's worlds so much better through this process.
Yeah.
And that is so important in today's world.
Yeah, I think we're very passionate about a lot of the things we talk about and the diverse backgrounds that we bring to the table, which is round. Is really eye-opening, not just, I'm sure, for our audience, but also many times for me. I really enjoy talking with you guys.
Same here!
Oh, I want to cry.
Happy tears. Yeah, and I think it's been really great to have Ryan on our show, and also Yuyang on our show. So
thank you.
New friends on the show, and it brings new flavor, new chemistry, new conflict, which I'm always up for.
Yay!
And new sparks.
Yeah, definitely. Ooh. And today's one of those... Okay, can't do that. Yeah, reminds me of some dude. He's not here today, but he'll be back in the near future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and today's one of those lucky days or something special about today that we've got so many first-timers.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is totally awesome. I like to say...
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah, Xue, Lai Yuan, Maggie... Hanna Wei, these are all just, you know, to name a few. Oh, and Vincent's Hai, you know, these are all new guys, newbies on the block. And it is so nice to see all of you. And Hanna Wei says, another Yang. So probably saying hi to you, Yang.
Okay. Hi, Yang. Another Yang.
Yes, I think it's, yeah, what's up with this? Well, I feel very special.
Twinsies.
Yeah. Well, we're connected in some way.
Some way. And I see Draco sending in a photo. He's always very, very cynical and got his own sense of humor. He sent in this photo of this dilapidated house in apparently Tibet. And he says, you know, for like dirt cheap money, you can buy a house like that nobody can live in, really. And then maybe you can get the special preferential policy in Tibet, as I think Tibet is getting more quota according to the new policy, too. Yeah, Draco, you are ha-ha funny, but you're pretty smart. Yeah, so you get his idea there. And this is not a very fair situation, as Lillian is saying here. As a student from Hubei, I've been in that fierce competition, or you can call war. That's called Gaokao. It was suffering, and we had to work so much harder to compete with the lucky born Beijinger. We even had our own Gaokao exam papers, which is much more difficult than the unified one, so the national one. We even had some classmates who turned a bit mad before the Gaokao day because it was a lot of pressure for people to handle, and can't really imagine what's going to happen after this reform. This is a kid from Hubei. Well, okay, he's not a kid anymore, but still a young person.
Well, can I jump in?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I want to say something about the so-called lucky Beijinger or Shanghainer. I took my master's degree in Shanghai. I know something about the Shanghai case. I think it is the similar case in Beijing. They also work very, very hard. Beside their academic classes, they have to take up extra training courses like piano, like painting, something that to gain extra scores to get admitted to a top school. Okay, life is not easy for them as well.
Can I chime in?
Yeah.
I'm not saying by any means, guys, that people in these cities don't work very hard to get to where they are. I'm just saying, why not have everybody everywhere work really hard to get to where they are, and then they get there because of how hard they work. So it doesn't matter where you're from. If you work hard, you get to where you need to go. That's what I'm saying.
That's the real meritocracy kind of system. And if that happens, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan. I'm trying to interpret your words. I think we are trying to say is kind of like having Gaokao scores. First of all, everybody have to take the same exam paper, just like the SAT in the U.S. And everybody in the same nation taking that paper that year will be ranked according to the score you get.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., it was a long time ago that I took the SAT. It was really hard.
Not that many years ago.
Jesus,
oh, come
on. It feels like...
You look like a baby.
When dinosaurs roam the earth, I took the SAT, guys. And You know, it wasn't based solely off the SAT, which was nice for me because I'll be honest with you guys, I did okay, just okay. But I had a decent GPA, and so that really paid off for me. Because I think also at the same time, some people are just lousy test takers. The nervousness, the pressure of having to perform at one time, at one point, really gets to them and getting as much information. Some people are really good at just performing over a period of time. So we have that GPA also, which is taken into account.
Yeah, right. And in China, I think it's a lot easier to handle the situation as it's that one test that determines the destiny of so many people.
But like you said, there's no such thing as perfect, and I feel like no matter what, this is a step in the right direction, so.
Okay, and I think it's probably time to move on to our next topic, as we've painted a very violent and bloody picture for people, and I feel kind of bad about it because it's kind of like lunchtime or just right after lunchtime when people are digesting all that food and we're talking about legs getting crushed and all that kind
Yum.
Of stuff.
Yum. Tell me more.
Yeah, and I just want to know, why are these bus drivers seemingly getting angry relatively easily?
Well, actually, I have a couple ideas, and Yu Young and I were talking, and first thing we talked about is like just bus drivers in the U.S. and then in China. And I feel like bus drivers in China have to deal with some severe pressures. Like, I've seen buses very crowded during rush hour time, so when you're transporting a lot of screaming and yelling people, sometimes talking on the phone very loudly, and already in streets that are crowded with many cars, that's really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are you just you're driving yourself, you're taking care of so many people with you. So if you have other bad drivers that are making your job harder, man, I can see how sometimes that could get you angry.
Well, talking about this bad, I would like to use the inexperienced driver. Okay, the number of license holders has risen even more quickly than car ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2010, China has added more than 20 million new drivers each year. Now, one in five Chinese has a driving license.
Wow.
And that's a lot. The rush of new drivers is posing safety hazards, just as Ryan has said. The official Xinhua News agency cited a report as saying that drivers with less than 1 year of experience play a large role in traffic accidents. See, the bus drivers face great stress.
But can I just play the devil's advocate a little bit here? That, I mean, Look at those bus drivers. They have their own lane. They have their own lane in Chinese cities. Like, you know, why can't you just...
I want my own lane.
Yeah, me too. And these bus drivers, they have their own lane. They're supposed to drive in that lane, and sometimes they don't do that. And sometimes you see these very aggressive driving behavior from these bus drivers, too. I think it's kind of... I'd say both lanes, drivers are pretty bad. It's not, you know, one's worse because the vehicle is so huge and insurance has been covered. So these bus drivers often just go so aggressively without any worry.
Yeah, as Heyang said, the bus driver has his own lane, right? So they tend to think, okay, I'm the bus driver, I'm the public transport, I should be given the priority. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm the boss. Don't mess up with me.
Okay. You know, so I have a little scooter, which is like a tiny little electric motorbike here that I use to get around from A to B when the weather's really nice. And you know, my experience with bus drivers is I don't mess with them. You know what? They have their own lane, but if they don't want to stay in that lane, I just get away from them.
Cause, yeah.
You know,
it's a smart way.
Yeah, they
don't make them angry.
I get the vibe that they know their size of their bus, and they know that they're intimidating to guys like me on my little scooter as I'm, you know, coming by. So I try not to get in their way, but I can understand how occasionally these guys do get angry. I mean, they're working 8 to 10 hours behind a wheel. They have huge responsibilities, as we talked about, you know, getting a lot of people from point A to point B, and these people are probably tough critics sometimes saying, can't you go faster, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, you know, he's getting this kind of feedback at the same time, too, all while dealing with probably rush hour traffic, which, God, if you can keep your head in rush hour traffic, you're a saint. It's really not easy to be calm all the time.
That's true. And I think it's great that you raised the point that bus drivers hold huge responsibility. But this bus driver, and in the story that crushed another driver of a small vehicle, his legs, or the two bus drivers in Tianjin that engaged in a road chase and crash into each other and causing injury for a lot of passengers, these people don't seem to have any sense of the responsibility that they hold that is unique to a bus driver. What should be done to stop that?
Anger management classes. If you see like a bus driver that is particularly angry all the time and you feel like maybe he's going to blow up, or as a bus driver you're getting angry all the time, I think anger management courses should be available to people in these kind of tough positions, because dealing with anger is actually, it's like an art. The thing about anger is like it can consume you right in the moment, and 2 hours later you'll really regret what you did when you were consumed by anger, and we've all been there. But some people are more susceptible to letting anger control them. And when things like that happen, it can be really traumatic. And I'm not saying that this guy's justified in how he treated the guy who got his leg run over. But, I mean, I'm just saying people get angry. And we can all sympathize with someone who's gotten angry at someone else on the road. So offer some kind of help.
Yeah, in China, if I want to drive a private car, I should pass the test of Sijung. But if for a bus driver, he or she has to pass a BOA. So I agree with Ryan that extra courses should be added into it, like anger management or psychology adjustment or something like that, to control your temper and anxiety.
Yeah, that's true. And also, this just reminds me of, let's say, the job of a pilot that's also driving kind of a vehicle, but just, you know, flying a plane. And I know pilots have to have regular, like, psychology checkups and those kind of things. I wonder if this is kind of necessary for, let's say, subway train drivers, or also bus drivers and these people.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I've thought of something. I remember I'm kind of nervous when I fly planes, and I would always tell my mom when I was younger, Mom, I don't want to fly a plane. Like, let's just drive. And she's like, Ryan, more accidents happen on the road than they do in the plane. And pilots, I am not demeaning what you guys do. You guys are awesome, superheroes. And every time I get to where I'm going off a plane, I say a prayer and I'm like, thank you for driving so well. But at the same time, I do think that bus drivers are dealing with more X, Ys, and Zs coming at them in different directions. Because when you are in a plane, maybe you can hit an autopilot button, or I don't know how it works, but, you know, there's not a car zooming at you and bad drivers all over the place. These bus drivers have a lot of variables they have to take into account, and I do think we should be a little more accommodating.
Mm-hmm. I like also like to draw people's attention to the health issue of the bus drivers. You know, bus driver driving is a sedentary job, and the bus drivers have to sit for huge amount of time, and also they have to deal with irrational passengers from time to time, mm-hmm. and their blood pressure go up, and with anxiety. A number of studies show the horrifying impact bus driving can have on one's health. For example, a study of 1,500 American city bus drivers discovered these workers face significantly higher rates of hypertension. And work from another report found bus drivers in the Netherlands to be twice as likely to become disabled. Also, a British study of bus drivers found that the drivers who had experienced the violence of a job, while 23% had developed post-traumatic stress disorder. So I have to admit that driving a public bus is a notoriously stressful job.
It's really stressful, and thank you for illustrating how difficult it is for us.
But I'm not going to defend this bus driver who ran over the man's leg.
No way. But it certainly shows that I think a lot more psychological care is probably needed for these people. And now we've already seen tragic cases happen twice, at least, in our country this year. And it is time for people to put their attention to this very dire need of bus drivers. And they need to be looked after, I think.
Yeah, I just think we take it for granted that their job, people might be like, oh, he's just a bus driver. Like, what education do you need for that? But at the same time, I would say that this guy is also a hero. I've heard of a bus driver who took shrapnel to his chest and was able to get people off the bus. And these guys are dealing with so many variables and getting you from point A to point B, and they deserve a high five.
Yes, or a gigantic smile.
Yes.
That's what I'm giving my bus driver when I go home today.